Hi, this is Dave, and you're listening to the English Meeting Discussion Podcast.
Number 11.
Stimulating dialogue.
Controversial issues.
A global perspective.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is brought to you by me, Dave Skonda, and EnglishMeeting.com. Welcome to another edition of the English Meeting Discussion Podcast. I'm Dave Skonda, and today we have another group, kind of a good big group today, and we're talking about a very important world issue, right? It's a world issue. It's something that can affect everybody in the world, so it's not just an American issue or an issue from another one country. So anyway, welcome everybody. Hello. Yes. Very good. Yeah. Arthur's clapping very close to the microphone, so it sounds louder. That's very good. I saw the spike on my waveform on my computer here. Okay, so let's do some introductions. So who should we start with here? Jessica. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, David.
How are you today?
Very fine, thank you.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah? Are you very cheerful? You sound like you want to jump off a cliff or something.
I do, really.
Why? Why?
No, I'm just playing.
You're just playing?
I'm just playing.
Okay,
no.
Can you give her some caffeine?
Yeah.
Give her some espresso. Okay, and then we have Xochitl.
Xochitl.
Hi, Xochitl.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm very good. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then next we have
Esther.
Hello, Esther.
Hi, everybody. It's a very good day today.
Yeah, it's a nice day today, isn't
yes.
it? It's very warm outside. It feels like summertime.
Or yes.
Summer's coming.
Uh-huh.
Do you like the summer here?
Or does it get of course.
Hot?
I like the hot weather.
Oh, you like
hot
it?
Hot and dry.
And dry. In Korea, it's more humid,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's really wet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hot and humid. I was in Korea in the summertime, and I remember being pretty humid. I was kind
of
hot.
Spring and autumn is very good in Korea, but summer is really hot and humid.
Right.
In the winter time, it's freezing.
Ah, yeah, it gets very cold in Korea. That's right. Lots of snow. Okay, well, so you're enjoying this weather. Okay, and then we have Armand. Hello, Armand.
Hello, Dave.
How are you today? It's good to see you here.
Thank you. I'm good.
Yeah, I think you need some caffeine too. Do you ever drink coffee or anything like this?
Actually, I had two cups.
Two cups?
Morning, yeah.
Well, you need some in the afternoon too. You said you had two in the morning. Do you drink Armenian coffee or American? American coffee?
I used to drink American.
Armenian coffee is extremely strong. And sometimes it has like the coffee grounds, like the very fine coffee grounds in it.
Then how about espresso? Espresso is similar.
Yeah, it's like espresso, but it can be a little thicker if you have the coffee grounds in it, right?
Yeah, and it's not healthy because of the foam that it has.
What foam? Foam for Armenian coffee?
Yeah, Armenian coffee.
It has foam?
Yeah, it has too much foam. The foam it you see on coffee, it's not healthy for your heart.
The foam isn't healthy?
Yeah, it's not healthy.
Why? What's in the foam?
Actually, it makes the...
I like the foam, yeah.
You're like,
oh, you're telling me it's not good for my heart? I like the foam. I live for the foam.
It's not like the cappuccino foam, but...
It's coffee foam.
Yeah, coffee foam.
Wow. What do you think, Jessica?
He liked the foam so much, yet he still... I mean, it's harmful for him, for his health.
Right.
Yet he takes two cups of it.
Oh, but do you drink the foam?
I try to not to.
You try not to.
But you do.
But you do.
Yeah, it's happy.
I see. Well, that's good. We're on the same boat. I'm a foam drinker, okay? Okay, and then we have Arthur. Hello, Arthur.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Do you drink the foam?
No.
You don't drink the foam?
No.
Do you drink coffee drinks?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
Do you drink Armenian coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah,
both actually American coffee
and
too.
Do you? How about the like cappuccino drinks? Do you like that sort of thing?
No, I actually like hot chocolate.
Oh, hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. I like chocolate stuff, so I can empathize with that. I see. Okay, well, welcome. It's good to have you here. And then we have Rosa. Hi, Rosa.
Hi.
How are you today? It's great to have you here.
Thanks. Fine, thanks.
And this is your first time on the English Meeting Discussion Podcast,
yes,
okay?
Yes,
and
yes.
I forgot to, when I said hello to all of you, I forgot to mention countries. So we have Rosa, and you're from where?
Iran.
You're from Iran. And Arthur, you're from?
Armenia.
Armenia. And
Iran.
Armin is from Iran. And Jessica, you're from?
Peru.
Peru. Xochitl is from?
Mexico.
Mexico. Yay! Viva Mexico.
Esther is from Korea.
Korea.
South Korea.
South Korea. That's right. So this is a good group today. We have people from a lot of different countries and to take on this issue. So let's jump right into it. Here we go. Nuclear issue, the big issue right now. Worldwide news is Iran is building the capability, or has already actually, they are presenting the fact that they have the capability to produce a nuclear reactor, nuclear power. Now they're saying that it's for energy purposes, that they have no intention whatsoever of building a nuclear bomb. So let's start off with that. Do we believe that, or should we be concerned that the Iranians may build a bomb and use it against perhaps a country in the West or in a country anywhere for that matter? What do we think?
We should definitely be concerned about this problem because the Iranian government since 1979 has shown very negative steps in political situations, and even from the beginning they started taking United States ambassadors as detainees.
So talking about the hostages?
Yeah, and the current president is one of the leader people in that action.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this before. So you're saying when the hostages were taken, when was it? Was that 79?
Or
that was right at the revolution began with the Ayatollah Khomeini. Yeah, the first year. And there was American hostages taken, I think, from the embassy. There was an American embassy in Iran.
And the leader was the Mr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad,
this
Iranian
is the current
president
of Iran.
Yeah.
And he was involved in taking these hostages
back
in 79. So you're kind of putting the two and two together. You know, this is what kind of person he is.
He's a terrorist.
A terrorist.
He's president.
Wow.
That gives
so
broader
you're saying he's a dangerous
country.
Person. He's a terrorist.
Of
and
course.
He became president.
Yeah.
Was he was voted in. Is that true? Did they
actually
help with elections?
In Iran, it's not a matter of voting. They can put whoever they want.
Well, how did they decide on him? Was there a vote, or was he put in by other
by
political
the leaders,
faction?
I believe.
By the leaders he was put in? Is that?
Khobrigan is, like Senate here, is only 5-6 people, they choose the president.
Oh, they choose.
In fact, the president is chosen before the election began.
So they still have an election,
yes.
But this group of people choose the president.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The election is kind of fake.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yes, exactly.
But if, like, you're people from the country, if everybody knows this, mm-hmm. how do the people of Iran feel about this? Do they still vote anyway, or how do I just feel like if we're in America voting for something, and I know it's fake, I probably won't even vote.
Actually, they do not have any choice because the government has all sources of power over them. And if they oppose, they're going to be like perished somehow without even a trace in jail.
You mean they may take them away or
underground
kill them.
Jail.
Underground jail.
Yeah, the most famous one is Evin.
Okay.
They can take you there and torture you for months. And
torture.
Then, perish you.
But I guess the biggest fear is about losing their religion, Islam.
It's not about
they are. I guess this is fair. They can. They can. At
you
time,
mean in terms
they
of the
can.
Election.
Yes, they can. Do something to get rid of this regime. But unfortunately, or they believe that it might cause them to lose their religion, Islam. This is
I
the
see.
Biggest fear.
So you think a lot of people in Iran. Mm-hmm. You know, they may kind of go along with this in terms
yes,
of the whole Muslim
yes,
movement.
Yes.
Even though a lot of the people may find fault in it.
Yes.
And things like
that. Actually, it was...
Yeah, you can hold it. It's okay.
It was said that it was going to be uprising. Like
uprising.
Before it's, the government turns its 20th anniversary.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the people of Iran was... they were tricked by Mr. Khatami, who I believe he was the former president.
Former mm-hmm. president, okay.
And he was a religious person. And
okay.
People were like tricked by this person mm-hmm. by some freedom that they got. Not so much, but some freedom. So it was a cause.
So there was no uprising because
yeah.
of this kind of
yeah.
trick, manipulation, and that sort of thing.
And
I think I've heard something about this. I don't quite remember it exactly.
And this government is like so intelligent in the way of playing their tricks. They're not letting the cup to be filled and to be like top off. They're reducing.
They're doing things to kind of... hold down the intensity
yeah.
of the people
yeah, of
so
course.
That the people put their attention maybe somewhere else. And
now they're coming up with a nuclear weapon.
Right.
They will try to do what North Korea does to South Korea. They're threatening their own people. They're one nation, but they're threatening each other.
Now, oh, that's interesting. Now, you're saying that Iranian, you know, the Iranian government is kind of threatening the people who may go, Iranians who go against them
yeah.
with nuclear weapons?
Yeah, because in Iran, some states, people are very brave. They will come out.
Uh-huh.
But when there is nuclear weapon, they can...
Why? What do you think? Why people can't? These are those people that they changed, they had revolution and they changed the king of Iran. He was powerful.
She's saying why?
I remember when we had Islamic revolution, I was 19,
yeah,
18 years
there.
Old.
Actually,
I remember that the king was so powerful, too, even powerful than this regime. This is nothing.
So before the revolution, you're saying... They were very powerful.
Yes, this
are you
is
talking
those
about the
people.
Shah?
No, I am talking about people. People are brave. The people of Iran
people
are brave.
You're
they
want
yes, yes.
Because of
they don't afraid of any kind of regime. No.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
but that was uh-huh. during Shah. They were like they had the freedom, had the democracy.
No.
But today we don't see any democracy.
You are young.
Iran.
I remember that the regime was worse than
but
now.
But the Shah, he's talking about the Shah.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. But he was so too strong, too tough. We can say he was a dictator.
Uh-huh.
He was a dictator and his regime, his army was so strong.
Okay.
It is nowadays, today's army is nothing in comparing with
really?
The king's regime. Army.
But
I guess
saying,
this is.
But are you saying
yeah.
the people back
the
then
people,
were
this
stronger?
Is the people's fault. If Iran does something wrong, this is the people's fault. People, if people
you're saying
stand,
the people are letting it happen.
Yes, letting it happen,
yeah.
exactly.
And it sounds like what you're saying is that the people should stand up and be
yes,
stronger
exactly,
today.
Yes, exactly. They can do. They
yeah,
did it and they can do it again.
Yeah. Oh, so they can do it.
Yes,
yeah,
they can do.
But they're not.
But they are afraid, well, and they are afraid of their regime, their
yeah.
religion.
Well, it's
Islam.
Fear, yeah. Well,
yes.
And that's the, I guess, the definition of terrorism is the fear that you inflict on people,
mm-hmm.
right? So what do we think here, though? Well, that no, hold on to the mic. That's their side, actually. So I'm talking to them about microphone. We have a lot of people here and only... three microphones, so we have to pass these around. It's a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, tell me what you think. Do you think that Iran is going to develop a nuclear weapon?
Yes, I think they're going to do that because, like she said, the people don't stand in their beliefs because they're afraid to suffer. every time you raise a movement, a lot of people suffer.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they're not ready to suffer. So that's the reason movement has to be strong enough to have the power for against the government. If they don't have, they don't strong enough, they're gonna fail.
Mm-hmm.
And
but why do you think you? How are you convinced that Iran is going to make a nuclear weapon? They're saying that we're just using this for power purposes. We have no intention of building a bomb.
I believe they're gonna use the nuclear the nuclear plant as a nuclear weapon because they have a lot of oil, so they can. There's other many ways.
So you're saying they don't need the energy.
Exactly.
They have the energy. They have plenty of energy.
Exactly.
Why would they need this special kind of energy?
It's just an excuse.
Which gets into something we were talking about earlier, that like the example of France. France doesn't have any oil. France has many nuclear reactors in their country, and they justify it by saying we have no other power source. They also have a different track record. France has a different track record than that.
I don't think any country going to stop to build that nuclear plant on Iran. I don't think...
You don't think anyone will, or you don't think anyone can?
I don't think anyone will. I don't think so. Because, like you say, there's another plants in another countries, and why they shouldn't have one?
Well, okay, so that's one of the questions on this issue is, you know, there's a big handful of countries that have nuclear either power or weapons or both, okay? Which means they have the capability to make a nuclear reactor.
But their president is not a terrorist.
Well, yeah, that's a big difference. I mean, that's why I'm saying the track record is different, because in Iran, what we see in terms of the history of Iran and their leaders, like mm-hmm. you two have been talking about, and you compare it to, like, France, you know, where France, the country of France, isn't mm-hmm. going around, you know, terrorizing mm-hmm. and blowing up people and kind of being what we would consider irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. The world is responsible, I guess, to let a country like Iran, that his new president wish to whip up Israel from the map of the world. I guess all countries are responsible to stop Iran from doing that thing.
Well, isn't it
all
something?
Countries,
it's
not
like
only the United States.
When we're talking about the Middle East or Arabic countries, it always comes back to the Israel issue, you know, Israel-Palestine. And, you know, it's inevitable. It always comes back to that. It seems to me, from my perspective, that seems to be the root of the problem. Because when people will talk to certain extremists, terrorists, whatever, and they say, well, why are you doing it? What is the reason? You know, oftentimes it comes down to, well, these people are supporting Israel, who are repressing the Palestinians. Okay, so what about Arthur? What do you think? You think they're going to build a nuclear weapon?
I think yes, because like they said, their president is a terrorist. I think
right.
he wants
When your
to
president is a terrorist,
you should be
that
afraid.
Might be a little red flag going up, you
yeah.
know? Okay.
Like, I think he's planning to attack some countries with that nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm. And what countries do you think he might attack?
I think America.
Yeah, I think America's would be on the list.
That's why America is, like, worried. America
exactly.
wants to do something.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, okay, so picture yourself. You're the president of America. Okay, you're worried about us getting bombed by them. So what do you do? I mean,
stop
this is
it.
A hard thing. Do you go and preempt? You know what preemptive means? Preemptive means, like, kind of like this situation where we're seeing a country who's building maybe the potential to make a nuclear bomb. And then preemptive means you hit them before they actually do it. You stop them before they have that bomb created. Because if you strike when they have the bomb, then they're going to fire that bomb at mm-hmm. you, and then you have this big mess. Mm-hmm. So what would you do? Would you preemptively strike them, or
yeah,
would you?
I'll preemptively strike them.
Okay. Before they develop the bomb.
Yeah, before they develop the bomb, because like if they develop the bomb, like you said, it's gonna be a lot of mess. A lot of people gonna die from that.
But how do you can do that if you don't have proof that they built
it? It goes back to the Iraq thing,
Iraq
right?
issue. They didn't have any proof either when they attacked Iraq.
But one time is enough.
Well, the thing, okay, the proof is, first of all, there is proof that they're developing nuclear. And Iran has said publicly, we have just developed our nuclear. They've already announced, like last week or something, or a week and a half ago, they announced that we have created a nuclear power. Meaning, you know, to make it, it's the material is the hardest thing, the enriched uranium. So they had to get the certain material. And of course, you've got to know how to put it together and all that. And they said they did it.
Yeah, but my question is, how are they going to prove they're going to attack America?
Well, there you go. That's what it comes down to. Because we know that they have the nuclear capability now, but they're saying, we have no intention of making a bomb. It's only for power. So your argument here is, well, how do we know? And Arthur is kind of saying, I believe they are. We should strike them now. So this is the problem. What do we do? Because what it comes down to is, okay, let's say, well, we don't know they're going to do a bomb, make a bomb, and bomb us or somebody else, so let's just let them be. There's that choice. Or there's take action and, you know, and do some kind of preemptive strike. What would you do, Zochil?
It's a hard question, I think. Yeah. I will just, I don't know so far if they hate America. I don't know that.
Well, they're publicly saying things that
they
are
hate,
pretty.
They hate.
They
say that the United States is devil, in
is
fact.
Is the devil. So they do, and they say this publicly, so it's not like hearsay.
Yes.
I mean, they say, you know, things like she's saying, like Americans are evil.
Yes.
And they should be killed.
Well,
that's not nice, is it?
No.
I think don't say that. Say something nice to us.
I think I will try to strike them and then be aware of what they are building.
You say you will destroy them?
No, not destroy them, but you know, strike. How do you
strike them?
Strike them.
But that means like starting a war, right?
Not necessarily.
Just kind of like going over their country and blowing up their nuclear plants? Because they've talked about that, just targeting their nuclear mm-hmm. plants and then mm-hmm. fly away.
No, I think there's another ways to stop them. Maybe just gathering all the countries and, you know, exposing
okay.
what I think and what
diplomatically.
I believe. Exactly. And okay. we can do it in pacifically. Peacefully? How do you say it?
Peacefully?
Peacefully.
That
well,
sounds,
try to do that.
Try really hard. Well, yeah, I think that's wonderful. And, you know, it may not be easy. And sometimes I feel like we need to try hard to do this stuff. Sometimes I feel like we don't try enough. Were you going to say something, Rosa?
Behind the curtain, something is. These two countries, Russia and China, the problem are there. If they stop helping Iran, everything will be okay. Iran is nothing. Iran is a toy in the hands of Russia and China.
You're saying that yeah. Iran has this capability because China and Russia are helping
yes,
them.
Yes, helping her.
Yeah.
So
we need to maybe do some
yes,
diplomacy
yes.
with China and
with
Russia.
China and Russia. The problem, the issue are
yeah.
these two countries.
Russia is a very difficult
yes, difficult, too difficult.
And right now, though, Russia is an American ally, you know, and we work closely, and actually Bush and Vladimir Putin have a pretty strong relationship, and but, you know, we don't agree on everything, mm-hmm. that's for sure. Yeah.
What kind of friend is being Russia right now? Maybe it's doing it just in a way to get maybe technology to provide to Iran.
Yeah, I mean, when we start talking about this, I'm not quite sure what motivates Russia to help Iran. I'm really ignorant.
Oil issue.
Oil, yeah.
It's the oil. That's obvious, yeah.
It's the oil. Bigger issue is the warm water that they want to have control, like Persian Gulf.
Persian Gulf?
Yeah. So they need Iran.
They need Iran because Iran has access to the Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
So it's you're talking about geographically, yeah. They need
like
that.
In 1970, yeah.
There you go.
Iran was the America's number one ally in SETO. It was the previous, like today's NATO for the North Atlantic.
Okay.
Iran was the number one ally of America.
In that region.
In that region for I the see. Warm waters, preventing Russia from entering to their airspace.
Ah, I see. Interesting.
And that was the reason.
During the Cold War.
Yeah, that was the reason that the revolution happened, in my opinion, because Iran was going against Great Britain and Russia.
Uh-huh.
And he had agreements with Great Britain about their oil wells for like 100 or 130 years, but they said no, we're not going to continue this agreement with Great Britain, and they started being ally with United States. And
right.
In early 70s, mm-hmm. like in 75 or something like that, Iran's Shah helped the Jordanian king to attack its rebellion people in Jordan,
okay.
by the 14s that they bought from United States. It was like today Iran has
okay.
like, for example, F-117 Nighthawk, which is the state of art plane.
Okay. Well, okay.
It was like some kind of step mm-hmm. against Great Britain's and Russia's plan, because they didn't started from Iran. They started in Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
They started in Iraq by Ayatollah Khomeini,
okay.
which was deported by Saddam.
Yeah, I know. I mean, these things get very convoluted, and our allies change all the time. It's so funny, you know, we were allies, then now we're enemies, and then we become allies, and all this kind of mess.
There are some kind of a double-edged sword.
Double-edged sword,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's a double-edged sword. There are two sides to it, you know, absolutely. I don't know. Esther, what do you think? What do you think the smart way? I mean, you're from South Korea, and you have North Korea, and who that has a nuclear capability, and, you know, it's kind of it's so close to you and all of this sort of thing. How do you think this should be dealt with?
It is very tough question to answer correctly, because as you said, there is no forever friend, no forever enemy. So we can't guess who will be next our allies and who will help to control Iran or North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of North Korea has the nuclear weapon is they want to keep their kingdom, Kim Jong-il's kingdom,
right.
very secure, and they need some economical and financial aid. That's only one purpose. And nowadays there is a six country.
Well, are you talking about a group of?
Yeah. Yes. It's Russia and America, China, Japan, and North and South Korea want to meet together
uh-huh.
to talk about to have solve the North Korea's nuclear problem.
Mm-hmm.
But North Korea always deny. They don't want to talk.
Right.
They want to keep their own way to keep the nuclear weapons. They didn't hear anybody.
Mm-hmm. It's a power issue. I
yeah,
mean,
it's
I think
a
that's
power
the same
game.
Thing with Iran. You know, the governing power of Iran wants to have a certain amount of power, and the people that are there on top, they want to keep that power. They don't want to lose their jobs. You know, power is supposed to be the ultimate. You know, it's better than money. Power is better than money, because if you have power, you control money.
Yeah.
You know,
North Korea government doesn't care about the people's welfare or people's happiness. The government It's not a government, it's a kingdom. They just right, want to right, keep their own power. That's why they want to have nuclear weapon.
Right, exactly. So, you know, how far should we go? I mean, if we try to talk to them diplomatically, and we talk and talk and talk, and we try everything we can think of, and they still say, forget you, we're going to do this no matter what do we do?
Attack them.
Attack them? Yeah. Yeah. What do you think,
I just
Esther, go ahead.
I wondered the function of UN Security Council. What do they do?
Well, they're involved in this. The UN has told Iran that they must stop. And Iran defied the UN by saying, not only did we not stop, we just achieved the capability. You know, so basically they're saying, we don't care what you do. We're going to do this. Now, of course, we haven't exhausted every diplomatic means. We've just kind of started this process.
My suggestion is like that American military not attack the nuclear plants because they're dangerous. If they leak, that's
contamination.
Yeah,
problem.
Contamination will reach into Afghanistan, Pakistan, other countries.
Neighboring countries.
Region. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the reason they didn't attack till now. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is like if they're gonna attack, they need the stronger weapons like nuclear weapon to attack those nuke plants because the bunker buster weapons cannot do the job.
And they won't. They won't take it out.
They won't take it out. And it's gonna be the doubled problem, the radiation.
Oh, and it would be a mess. I mean, so many people would die, mm-hmm. and not die, but suffer because of the radiation. I mean, we're all pretty lucky. We're all generally healthy people here. If we were exposed to serious radiation, I mean, you know, we would lead miserable lives. You know, our children would be deformed. You know, just
only suggestion that I have is like United States. Army, Air Force, or Marines, whichever that goes front, bombs the Iran's military bases.
Uh-huh.
And so they won't be operative. And before that, they should like unite all the all those Iranian groups, not only one.
Well, how are we going to
unite?
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem.
Look at us in Iraq right now. I mean, these people in
or at least
upper
they
military
can arm
thought
the
everyone
strongest one, arm the strongest one, inside.
Arm the strongest one. Inside. Well, have a better plan than they did with Iraq, right? Because they thought everybody was just going to come together and be like, oh, we're free, and look what's happened in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Everybody's killing each other. And
because otherwise, if we're going to strike Iran, it's not going to be like with one strike or two strikes. It's going to be like Iraq, maybe in different times.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not going to help
a
again.
Big, long, drawn out.
Because they have Russia and it's giving them military units that they need.
No. Keep that one on this side. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the microphone. But should it be the U.S.? I mean, the thing is, you're saying the U.S. should strike. I mean, look at the mess we got into with Iraq. I mean, basically, we lost a lot of friends because if there were weapons of mass destruction there, I think people would have justified it and said, well, yeah, they were going to bomb the United States, but there weren't, and, you know, the war is just a mess, and there's almost like a civil war going on in Iraq with all the Sunnis fighting the Shias and this and that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a mess. So should America be the one to go in to take care of this problem?
No,
yeah,
no.
What do you think?
I suggest that the United States should. Express or push Russian to stop Iran. The second step is to boycott Iran strongly.
Okay.
Not just a serious boycott. Yes, a serious boycott and countries.
But who to boycott? I mean, I guess like if we're American politicians, we can control America, but how are we going to get other countries? Because just America boycotting them is not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we consume a lot of gas, America consumes the most fuel. because we're such a big country, I guess, you know, and other things. But that's not going to stop them. So we have to get people to be on our side. And right now we're not so popular because of this Iraq problem.
And we have lots of enemies like North Korea or other countries.
North Korea is against us, of course.
They're like hidden hands. They can help Iran anytime. And they're happy.
Now this one stays on this side, Rosa.
And they're
so
happy
don't give
about
it to them.
Helping them because Iran is right now like ally, some kind of ally with China and North
Korea.
Yeah,
they have relations, absolutely.
And Russia got to his dream to reach to the warm waters.
To have that access in the Persian Gulf, and that really means a lot to the Russians. They really need that. But, okay, so how do we get other countries to support us? What do you think? You know, because they may bomb, you know, I don't mean to sound too negative, but they could bring a dirty bomb right here to Los Angeles, and that affects you, me, and everyone. So if we are going to protect ourselves, we need countries to get along with us. How are they going to do that?
European countries are better. European
but the European countries basically aren't supporting us, but they're not supporting us with Iraq.
Instead of, I guess, instead of doing anything with Iran, working on European countries.
But how do we get the European countries?
They will listen.
You think they'll listen?
Yes, they will
listen. For this issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's different than Iraq.
Yes, yes. I've acknowledged them of the problems that is going on. And if someday something happened, the United States says that.
So we can get the European community.
I said before that it would happen.
I believe it's like the European countries didn't support America because America couldn't show any proof of Iraq having a nuclear bomb.
Right.
That's why European countries didn't support America. But now with the Iran situation, if America shows strong proofs about Iran having a nuclear bomb, I think European countries will support them.
Okay. It's a different issue. So
actually,
on
Iraq, they had the proof, but they didn't find the evidence after entering Iraq.
Yeah, they could have still had it. We still don't know.
Because those weapons, were sent to Iran.
Right, I've heard these stories. You know, they could have gotten it out. You know,
and the U.S. doesn't just say something out of his pants. Their intelligence service has these drones and Predator that can fly.
Talking about the aircraft that flies without a person.
Yeah, and
it's remote control.
Yeah, it's not only bombing. It's it
taking
has
pictures.
The capabilities of taking pictures and analyzing the air that rises up from.
It can take a chemical sample of the air.
Of course.
Yeah.
And radiations that they can detect. Understand
well, plus, you know, nowadays, you know, with just satellite photos, I mean, have you all seen like Google Earth?
Yeah.
You know, you can like basically see, you know, a house, you know, and if you and I can do that, you imagine what the military can do. The military can get much closer and see, which makes me think that if this is true, why didn't we or somebody, some military, take out their nuclear program much earlier? You know, if we knew they were gathering the material. And we saw the pictures. Obviously, America knew this. Other European countries knew this. Other countries knew this. Why didn't somebody do something? Why let it get to this point? Why do you think?
Because in Iran case, it was in the beginning of the old kingdom, this nuclear base or nuclear power. After the kingdom went or left Iran. The revolution, Islamic revolution, said that
they're not going to pursue
Yes, they don't do anything with this atomic things.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
But after the war, Iraq attacked on each point, schools, hospitals, but in the case of nuclear power of Bushehr, the city that we have in Iran, they have this nuclear power base or station. they didn't attack on
they
this
didn't
place.
Attack it's always because, there
because the Russian didn't let them Russian didn't let Iraq to attack
oh, really?
On this place
okay.
and it was the closest place to Iraq. It was just neighborhood.
It was close to Iraq, but the Russians wouldn't let them do it.
Iran.
So it still existed, and now this present leadership is saying, hey, let's
and
turn it on.
Happened,
let's make it happen.
Yes, it opened almost 2 years.
But still,
like, yes,
but,
one
still
year, 2 years.
But still, we could have, my question is, we could have bombed them earlier, right? We could have stopped them before, because it takes time to put all this, and they've been working on this for a while. So it's not like they just woke up 2 weeks ago and said, hey, I got an idea.
It was
let's put 30 together
years
a bomb.
Ago. I guess something
well,
like
I mean,
30 years ago.
Yeah, so why didn't we bomb or somebody bomb them sooner? Yeah,
actually, because there were like lots of intelligent Iranian inside the country that they were like blocked. They couldn't come out because of the war, and the embassies were like closed, and crossing the borders were so hard. If you have seen the Betty Mahmoudi story.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to bombing them.
Actually, it does, because if you bomb the nuclear plant, it's going to make lots of radiation.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying, my whole point is, before they get to that point, they obviously, and I'm not saying just America, I'm
actually
saying intelligence throughout the world knew that they were doing this.
She mentioned that they started making those plants during the Shah regime. So.
Right.
During that time, Shah was America's ally.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying, though. No. And that's not what I'm saying is, after the revolution, those plants were dormant for a long time.
Yeah, because America
and
was
then
not
they
familiar
started.
With Iranian politics that they're going to pull out every...
That's not the point. The point is that we saw them bringing the materials. It's not. And when I say we, it's not just America. It's the international community with intelligence have pictures, they have intelligence. They knew that they were gathering this material and bringing it together. And they knew what they're, you know, were trying to do. So my question is, why didn't somebody bomb them sooner when they were putting this together? Because now they have it, and now it's a much bigger mess.
Actually, in that time, they were aiding Iraqi regime, Saddam, to overthrow the Khomeini. They were arming them to enter the Iran. United States armed the Iraqi.
You're talking about the Iran-Iraq war.
And it was the best time to
destroy
them.
The point is that somebody could have done it, but they didn't. I mean, maybe it was diplomatic reasons.
Actually, they did it. That was the reason that Rumsfeld gave that much power to Saddam to enter Iran. And Great Britain did it. France did it.
Well, that's still off the point, though. The point is why didn't a strong country come in there and just nail their infrastructure?
Because they weren't able. Because it's like Vietnam. Entering Iran needs lots of effort.
It's not. I mean, we have cruise missiles. They're very specific, Armand. Cruise missiles can get within a yard. So they could have. And I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm saying I don't know why. Maybe we didn't want to. We thought if we did, it would make them angry and it would start a war, you know, something like this. But it just seems silly now that they have the capability, and you know, just it takes other people's power away. Yeah.
Yeah. If we attack the nuclear station, then it is kind of a prelude for the war, because. If Iran is the enemy of the whole of the world, we can attack that country without any disagreement. But Iran has also their own allies, countries.
That's right.
So the other countries has to against us. No, it starts a war, another war. And the another problem is if we attack the nuclear station, there is some material, very hazardous material is inside, like uranium or I don't know exactly what is the material is. It has radiation hazard. So it causes another problem. So I think it is not easy to attack.
Actually, the reason I think they didn't attack with those weapons that you mentioned, cruise missiles, maybe they were not ready to show their military capability to Russia, because busting this nuclear plants is not easy with cruise missiles, even bunker buster missiles
that
are
now we're getting
times
down
stronger,
into specific things.
They cannot do the job.
Well, you can't say you can't because you have to be an expert in it. And the thing is, they could stop the flow, and they have bombed. I mean, they have bombed when they've seen certain countries doing development. They have done it, and you're talking about very specific military situations. And you know, unless you know these bombs and what they can do,
actually, bunker buster missile.
But we're not talking about bunkers, Armin. We're not talking about bunkers. We're talking
low,
about getting material from point A to strong. Point B. And we're talking about the flow and putting it together.
Actually, the material is not hard to find for Iran because it has natural sources of uranium that they do not have, like, to be imported from other countries. Iran is a very rich. It had.
Okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you about that. If you want to believe that, that's fine. Okay, Zochil.
I think they don't stop them because that wasn't the only country that was gathering material for nuclear plant or whatever it is to start a war. I think a lot of countries are doing that, not only Iran. That's the reason they didn't stop them before. And also,
the allied countries are doing what, especially?
Gathering material. Yeah,
right.
Like missiles or that kind of stuff.
Talking about nuclear missiles.
Oh, nuclear missiles. And a lot of countries are doing that. If they stop them, they have to stop all of them, not only one.
See, that's what opens it up. It's like, you know, I mean, a lot of countries have this. And like I mentioned France earlier, and France is actually expanding their nuclear power program. But they're using it for power. I don't think many people are so worried about France is making bombs to blow up the world or something like this. But other countries absolutely have it, and some are expanding it. And, you know, other things can happen, right? You could have a meltdown like Chernobyl, and people, innocent people, get killed and die. Like we're dealing with, we were talking about this earlier, maybe before the podcast, that America has a lot of nuclear waste. And what do you do with nuclear waste? I mean, we have lots and lots of nuclear waste, and we're trying to store it, and our storage facilities are leaking, and it's leaking into the ground. And if it leaks into the ground, it's going to get into the water supply. And if it gets into the water supply, it's eventually going to get to animals and human beings, you know. And
burying them.
Well, yeah, burying them. But the thing is, they put them in some certain containers, and these containers have started to leak. And there's this whole big debacle because we're supposed to be building this huge structure to store it in that's supposed to be very safe. And it's a... Well, it's not to store it. Actually, what America is doing is we have a plan to build. We're building this huge structure. It costs like billions of dollars. And what we're doing is going to build this structure, then we're going to use a chemical process, and we're going to treat all of this nuclear waste. And we have a lot of it, a lot, not just a little bit. And then we're going to transform the chemical into, they call it glass logs. So it's like these, we'll transfer it into these long pieces that look like logs, like a long tree or something. And it kind of looks like glass, I guess. It's like, and then we can bury it. And at that point, it's not supposed to contaminate the surrounding. It's a whole chemical process. And that's what America is doing right now to deal with all this waste. But as this is, it's not happening right now. And as we're talking about this, nuclear waste is leaking right now into these parts. And we don't know what the long-term effect is going to be on that. You know, so the nuclear thing in general seems very messy. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we need to stop all countries from developing nuclear power?
I think we should find a way to... transform the nuclear waste in something that couldn't harm the environment or human.
But it's very, well, you know, and we can do that. We are on the process of doing that, but it's so expensive. And as we're, like I'm saying, as we're talking, it's leaking right now. And you think other countries may have the same problem.
I think all of them has the same problem. I mean, yeah. We haven't developed a chemical process to transform these nuclear waste in something positive or something won't harm people or the environment. And also, I don't think that Iran has the money to develop a process, a chemical process for this. I don't have the...
Iran has lots of money. Yeah, it has lots of resources.
They're a rich country because of their oil, you know. I mean, they
not only oil, lots of mineral. Everything is rich in Iran.
They have lots of minerals as well.
It's rich.
Yeah. It's well, rich. I mean, and Iran is a country that is a clandestine country. You know, we don't know too much about it. I mean, you guys are from Iran. So you have first-hand experience.
And government has the all hands on the oil and all
they control that
mineral resources, everything, and puts the money into his safe banks, maybe in Swiss bank or something.
Oh,
and
really? Interesting.
Yeah, they can have
banks around the world to keep their riches.
So the money that should be supposed to be in the hands of people, it's in their hands. And basically in the hands of Russia, China, is people money. But
so other people are tied to this money, which can, you know, make things go in a different direction, not our favor. Yeah, Rosa?
I guess Iran is a good cues right now to stop all countries from having any nuclear power. Stop. This is the point for stop. The nuclear power exists. There is nothing can do. We can't destroy it. Nothing. Environment, surface of Earth, and underground, all are affected with this hazardous thing that human being discovered. There is nothing can do. But Iran is good point to stop all countries. That's enough.
Oh, like this whole incident maybe should make the world wake up look, we should stop.
Yes.
Now, like some people will say that nuclear energy is very clean, and it actually is very clean. It doesn't really pollute that much like coal and other forms like this. But of course, if you have an accident with it, it's certainly not clean, right?
An earthquake.
Well, an earthquake. Well, that's what they're talking about,
underground,
this structure.
Yes.
Yeah, like if we had a big earthquake,
yes.
You know, it could be the end of all of us. You know what I mean? If these reactors melt down, it can be very dangerous. And the thing is, like, I mean, does this sound silly? There are other forms of energy besides nuclear.
But what's the point of making a nuclear bomb if you're not going to use it? Like, America has a lot of America has a lot of nuclear power, but...
Somebody said that. There was a big politician. I forgot. This was... I think it was Cold War time or, like, Margaret Thatcher. I forgot. Somebody said that exact thing. They said... What's the point of having all this power if you're not going to use it?
It's like scare the enemy. Like, we have a nuclear power, so don't
move. Used it.
It is too late to answer.
Put it by your
mouth. Is too late to answer. Everything is done. There is nothing can do.
Okay.
But the point is that it might one day comes to work for Earth because of external things like space, something like star. These things comes to Earth. They might
to blow up a comet coming to Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the one answer to Arthur is, it has been used. It was used in World War II against Japan.
Yeah,
and the thing is, no nuclear weapon has been used since that time. And there's a reason for it, because it was so destroyed. Now, we don't have any Japanese people here. Have you been to Japan, Esther?
Yes.
Have you been to Hiroshima?
No, but I know which place that is. And actually, it was more than 50 years ago that Hiroshima was destroyed by the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, after 50 years later, the scientific skill and the technological development is huge. So can you imagine how the nuclear weapons power nowadays is?
Oh, you mean even more so?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, the thing that I bring up about this is because, okay, it was used in Japan, and it was an extremely destructive weapon. I mean, just wiped out so much. And so many people took notice of this around the world and said, because obviously America's been involved in wars after World War II, and we never used it. I mean, Vietnam, there was no, we didn't use a bomb or anything like that. So the destruction it did to Nagasaki and Hiroshima is quite, it shudders the human soul when you see that kind of destruction.
If the nuclear weapon killed people just at one time, it doesn't matter. But the consequences, the sequel is really serious. The radiation hazard is still going on.
Yeah, well, they still say, like, I've been to Hiroshima, and, you know, some people say it's still dangerous to be there. Of course, Hiroshima is a built-up city now. People live there. You know, they have memorials, and they have a fantastic museum that talks about that time and what happened. And you go there, and you experience it. It just, you'll never forget it. I mean, if you experience Hiroshima, well, after I was there, I left saying, everybody should experience Hiroshima. They should all go and see, because you really don't know the power of the atomic bomb exactly until you go and you see that. So, you know, this is one reason why we haven't used this. And what Esther is saying, I think, is very poignant, and that is, well, that was a long time ago. Think what we can do with these weapons now. You know, how powerful they can be. You know. So what's our final thought here? We got to wrap this up. What's our final thought? Do we just push hard diplomatically?
I think so. Uh-huh. The only way we can go through without damaging any country or getting angry any country is by the organization of the United Nations.
Yeah, the United Nations needs to be strong and
just
needs support.
Strong enough,
right?
And stand to stop the nuclear plant.
Uh-huh,
think it's the only way we can.
I believe.
Yeah, having all the countries united, like with this organization pushing on the countries, then and start by Iran, like as she said, they might be the first point to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think America. I hope America has learned a lesson in terms of like Iraq, because we kind of went in by ourselves. I mean, we had some support, but not much, and it really turned out bad. And I think the lesson is, yeah, we need a big group community. We need a lot of relationships, a lot of coalition. Yeah?
I believe the best thing to do is, like, overthrow the government. Like they say, if the president is the terrorist.
Uh-huh.
Like, America has a lot of power. Like, they can overthrow the government, the president, and put someone that is that people trust, like, it's not a terrorist or something. It's not going to attack America or other countries.
But you're not concerned that perhaps it'll turn into another Iraq? Because look how difficult it's been for America to try to establish a new government in Iraq, and how many people have been killed. And
no, I'm not saying like we could like choose someone that people trust, not like we trust.
Well, yeah, I mean, but then, you know, it gets down to how well do Americans know what's going on in Iran? And I like, as an American, when I heard all this was going on, I assumed America's intelligence would know how to handle that situation. But obviously, after the fact, we look at it and we go, ooh, they did a bad job. They didn't have somebody who could gather the people together. And when you say that, I mean, you know, it sounds like it could be good, but I would be afraid that it would be another type of civil war would happen, and, you know, these different religious factions would start fighting against each other.
But there won't be any use of nuclear bomb in that case.
Well, true. I mean, you point out something good. Even if that does happen, Arthur, you're saying that, well, at least they won't have a nuclear bomb, and that's our main goal. Begin with the end in mind, yeah. Right? Well, I think that's a valid point. That's a valid point. Any other final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say that how weird is that the countries in the Middle East that are the most religious countries, they're always fighting, always in war.
Right. So we're never going to get away from it. We're never going to get away from war.
You mean
that
Islamic
is my question.
Countries?
Yeah.
Because there is like, how you say, like Catholic and Protestant.
Yeah.
There are two different branch of the Islam,
Right, right.
Shiite and Sunnis, Shiite, and they're always in fight with each other.
And they're always going to fight against each other. Yeah, well, I mean, in the, you know, it's not just to the Muslims, you know, like you're saying, you know, Christians, Protestants, there's fighting. And, yeah, you know, it may just come down to the idea that we live in a difficult world and there will always be fighting here. I think the big concern about this is that most of the world could be destroyed through nuclear weapons. And if
actually,
it gets into the wrong hands...
Iran won't be like able to get to the nuclear weapon maybe even in 25 years to get one warhead, because it takes lots of efforts and time to reach to...
Well, they could make a dirty bomb, though, the next week.
Dirty bomb. And the reason that you said why they didn't, like, take out the Iran earlier...
Oh, you're going back to that again? Oh, no!
Because,
help me.
They needed, like, to have evidence, like, for
well,
in further future,
right.
Even
could
for
very
Russia
well be.
And China, that this country is a problem. Don't help them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like... On an earlier podcast, somebody brought up, I don't know if it was you or somebody else brought up, that we could have killed Osama bin Laden, but we didn't because, you know, we didn't have the authorization to do it. And although America is a strong country and we do use force, but that doesn't mean we just go around the world and just kill. And we've restrained ourselves. And you're probably right. We restrained ourselves before because... We don't want the world to think we just go around and bomb anything that we feel like, because America does not rule the world. You know, we got to work with countries. And that's why I think one thing that we probably decided as a group is that we need to strongly work with diplomacy and use our brains to really work with diplomacy and maybe sanctions, but try to talk with them, try to work it out. Did you have a final thought there, Esther?
Yes, without sin, it is hard to believe, you know.
Without what?
Without sin.
Without sin?
Sin. S-E-E-I-N-G.
Oh, seeing. See,
without
I'm like, huh?
Seeing.
The sea? We're floating in the sea? Without seeing what?
It is hard to believe something.
Oh,
without
seeing is
seeing.
Believing, like it's the expression.
Yes,
seeing
is believing. So
well, yeah.
We need to use the mass communication, like broadcasting and internet, to show the tragedy on Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Oh, I know.
Then everybody may realize the real tragedy, what happened to us if the country used the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Then we can get our own power to suppress the nuclear weapon.
I think that's very telling. I mean, seeing is believing, and if we really saw this stuff and knew about it a little deeper, maybe we would really work in a positive way to kind of stop what's going on there.
The problem about gas price or the problem of American lifestyle, it is just a localized matter. But for the problem about nuclear weapon, it is not the localized or specific nation's problem. It is all of our problem. The result is very clear. What happened if we use the nuclear weapon?
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. Well, we got to wrap it up. So thank you, everybody, for coming today.
Woo! Support the boycott.
What's that? What?
Support the boycott.
Support the boycott. Yeah, woo! Let's use diplomacy. Let's use our mind and our minds and try to stop this without another war. This has been, I think this is podcast. What is this? Today's Monday. This is number 11. So this has been the 11th English Meeting Discussion Podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. All right, that wraps up another edition of the English Meeting Discussion Podcast. I'm Dave Skonda, and I thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast if you like. You can come to EnglishMeeting.com, www.EnglishMeeting.com, and you can click one of the subscribe links using the many different free software to subscribe. The podcast will automatically come to your computer, and you can listen to them on your computer or pod device. I guess that's it for today. Please post comments. Come to EnglishMeeting.com, and you can post comments very easily by clicking on the comment link on the blog page. That's the page where all of the podcasts are listed. And you can type in your comment and just log in as other or anonymous, and you'll be able to post it immediately. Okay, well, that wraps it up for me. I appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time.